So go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to review here just a moment. Last week, we brought up the question of what is it that I'm saying when I'm praying in the Spirit. And we examined part of that last week where Jesus said that out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost. And we also saw how that coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb is this river of living water. We found out how that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are both identified as the Parakletos in the Bible. They both are the same thing. They're identical. We've studied that and found that they're identical in their ministry and what they do. And we found out that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We also found out that the Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. We found out that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will only speak of those things which he hears. We learned how that there is a perfect unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they never do anything outside of that unity. And that as Jesus is interceding for us, he's interceding for us according to God's will. And it's as though those prayers are coming forth from the very throne, the very presence of God, is that those rivers of life, rivers of living water. And then as we yield ourselves over to the Holy Spirit and we begin to pray in tongues, those tongues, that heavenly language, goes past our intellect, our understanding, and comes across our lips, pouring out of our spiritual belly as rivers of living water according to the perfect will of God. And in Revelation, it says, Revelation chapter 1, it tells us, John said that Jesus' voice was as the sound of mighty waters flowing. And so we understand then that as we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes those words that he hears Jesus praying, declaring the will of God, the Word of God through us, and that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are both in perfect unity when it comes to the prayers that are released, and that as we're praying those prayers in the Spirit, that is honestly, literally, the will and the Word of God that first started out in his very mind, his very thoughts. And almost a humbling thing to me. I mean, when I pray in the Spirit, those words that are coming out, even though I may not understand them, the fact remains they started off in God's head. I mean, he thought these things. It's his will. And as I'm praying this, I'm literally praying what started off in heaven as God's thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but that is just overwhelming to me to think that God has given us this ability. And it goes past the understanding of man. That is really one of the best things that could happen to us, is that it go past our understanding. I mean, how many times have you tried to help God out with something? You know what he wanted you to do, and you figured, okay, God, well, I'll help you out with this, and then you blow it. I know a man that one time, as he was praying in the Spirit, for a brief moment he had this vision of thousands of people in front of him. Now, he'd never preached to crowds like that, but he had this vision of thousands of people in front of him, and many of them were sick and had all different kinds of problems, and he didn't know what it was. Well, years went by, and he was one who had made it a habit to spend considerable time praying in the Spirit every day, hours. Sometimes up to 8 hours a day he would spend praying in the Spirit. Well, years went by, and a door opened for him to minister in Mexico. And he said, as I stood up there on that platform, and I looked out across all of those people, he said, all of a sudden that vision came back to me. And he said, what I was seeing in the natural was that vision I had had years before. And he said, I asked God about that. You know, God, why was it just a brief vision? Why did I just see that, you know, for like a fleeting moment? And why didn't you ever tell me what it was? He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, if I had told you then what was going to happen years later, you would have taken it upon yourself to cause it to happen, and it would have flopped. But because I didn't tell you, you stayed in prayer, and you continued to pray, and because you continued to pray in the Spirit, you were releasing my anointing to bring this thing to pass in my perfect plan, in my timing, so that everything which took place would be a total success as I had ordained for it to be. And he said, thank you, Lord, for not telling me. And that's the way it is. Many times we do not know what it is we are praying. Sometimes we can know, but quite often, and most of the time, we don't have a clear understanding of everything that we pray, and that's good, because that keeps us out of the middle of it and lets God do His thing so that His thing, His will, is accomplished in our lives. But there's more that we can learn from the Word of God concerning praying in the Spirit. In other words, we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in unity, and we know that as we pray, we're praying the will of God that's already been established. But when we get into the Word, we can begin to not only understand that this praying is praying according to the will of God, but we can begin to understand certain areas, topics or categories, if you will, that this praying is covering. Now, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's take a look at this. In verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." All right, now, there are some people who say, well, when you come forth with tongues, regardless of what it is, whether it's you praying or whether it's tongues for interpretation or it just doesn't matter. Any time that tongues comes out of you, it is a language that can be found somewhere here on the planet. Now, I've heard this before. I don't know if any of you have heard this before, but I've heard this before. That whenever you do that, it's a language that you might be speaking in French, or you might be speaking in Peruvian or Spanish or Russian or something like that. And even though you don't understand the words, somebody somewhere would understand what you're saying. Well, now see, this verse right here proves that wrong. Because he says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him." Now, yes, it's true. There can be times where you may speak in a language that you yourself do not know, but someone else may understand. That would fall more into the area of a sign, a tongue was a sign for the unbeliever. But here he makes it very clear that no man understandeth. So this is a language that is literally birthed from God. This is a language that God has created. Now again, this is, to me, it's just overwhelming how that God can use me in this way, and that when I open my mouth and I begin to pray in the Spirit, there's a language coming out of me that nobody but God Himself understands. Now see, that also answers the question, does Satan know what we're praying when we pray in the Spirit? And I've heard people say, yes, he does. No, he does not. Think for a minute. How fair would that be for God to have you pray in the Spirit and you don't know what you're praying, but Satan understands every single word? That doesn't even make human sense, let alone godly sense. Satan does not know what you're praying unless there is an interpretation that comes out. God gives you an interpretation, and you understand it and speak that interpretation. But Satan...
Can we ask questions?
Okay. Go ahead.
We're used to asking questions on Sunday night.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I won't bug you on that. I hope it's a member of your team.
No, go ahead.
On the day of Pentecost... Peter and the rest of them were given different languages, which is the translation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went out and spoke to people in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused between the different points. You're talking about what they did at that point and what this is here. What they're saying here is, basically, if the tree falls and the woods and was there, and, you know, no one hears it. Basically, that's what they're saying. That the gift that this is talking about here, and the scripture you just read, is something totally unknown to probably everybody.
Right.
So what, I don't understand.
Well, there is a, again, there are...
I know there's different, like you explained earlier.
Right, there are primarily four different categories of praying in the Spirit. One would be as a sign for the unbeliever and for intercession, which is something... Sign for unbeliever, intercession is something you can't produce for yourself. For interpretation, you can't produce for yourself. Or, in other words, you can't force it out. But the prayer language is something that you can, and singing in the Spirit kind of falls into that category as well.
My question is, how can I, as someone who doesn't know a great deal about this, differentiate between what Peter, reading the scripture about what Peter did and what this says here? I don't see the difference.
Okay.
Explain the difference.
Okay. When they came out, they didn't understand. First off, they didn't know what was going to happen in the upper room. They didn't have a clue. Jesus said, you go, you wait, you'll receive power. So they go, they wait, and then the Holy Ghost, what they're filled with the Spirit. Some people call it they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when that happened, it was something that they had not anticipated. In a sense, that was a real blessing for them. Because what's happened over the years, so many people know what to expect, and that in itself can lead to some confusion. Because they expect some kind of physical manifestation to take place upon their bodies to confirm that they've been filled with the Spirit. But that doesn't always, it can happen, but it doesn't always happen like that. When they receive that language and they come out of the upper room, they were speaking in tongues in the upper room. When they come out of the upper room, the overwhelming power of God that hit them, they come out and they did not understand what had taken place as far as the fullness of all of that, because it was just moments old. And so they come out and there was such an incredible manifestation. You have to remember it was the day of Pentecost. So the city was jam-packed with people. Now, whether or not people around them or outside that upper room heard that sound. They may have, they may not have. I don't know. But regardless of that, they saw the end result of it. So here come these people out of the upper room. And the folks around them are hearing this. And they were from all these different nationalities, these different countries, and they were there for the day of Pentecost. And they're hearing things that they couldn't figure out. How can we be hearing this coming out of those people? Yeah, they heard their own language. Now, there are some people that say that this was and the Bible's not super clear on this point, whether, let's say, every one of us would have been from a different country. And then those people come out from the upper room, and I hear them speaking in French, but you're hearing Spanish. Or somebody else is hearing something else. And the people that came out didn't understand that.
So what you're saying is the people in the upper room weren't necessarily one speaking French, one speaking German.
It might not have been that way, but then it...
Some said it thundered, some heard a whisper, some heard a rumbling, a peal of thunder.
Right.
It was interpreted differently.
Right. Right, and that would have been a sign for the unbeliever. When they were filled with the Spirit, they received this manifestation, they come outside, and all the people outside were unbelievers, we understand that. This was a sign to them. And it says they heard, you know, they were glorifying God. Well, this was something totally different. And then Peter begins to minister in a special way, and the end result out of all of this was that thousands of people were led to the Lord because of this manifestation, what had happened.
Given the fact that they were all in an upper room and they were all filled with the Spirit and they all began to speak in an unknown language, and this particular sound that they were making was attracting a crowd, It was nothing more than the sound that was attracting the crowd.
Right.
And as the crowd came together, the crowd began to hear in their own language, the 16 of them recorded in the Bible.
Right.
Different languages recorded in the Bible.
Right.
They began to hear what was being said. And what was being said were the wonders and praises. Well, it says, declaring the wonders of God.
Right.
So what was being spoken by, in this noise that attracted them, was the wonders of God. Would that not be a solemn or a sovereign act of God, where God took the unknown language that was being spoken by this group of 120 and was able to translate it immediately into the languages that the people heard?
Right.
And the people there wouldn't have had to speak a single syllable of Latin or of Greek or of
right.
Palestinian or of Bede or anything like that.
Right, and that can happen. That's the kind of a thing that you just can't predict. And that's about the best way maybe I can describe that, because it could be a service. For example, if we continue in the direction that the praise and worship has been the last 3 weeks, 3 weeks in a row now, it has been intensified. It has it's grown in intensity 3 weeks in a row. If we continue in that direction, and what's going to happen is there will be an outbreak here. Now, that, I'm not, you know, a spiritual outbreak. We're not talking a plague or anything, okay? There will be a spiritual outbreak. Now, if anybody here has ever been in any of those services, I know, just from experience, I know that Kathy and I have, and I know, Judy, that you have, and I don't know about anybody else here, but if you've ever been in a service like that, it becomes incredibly overwhelming. And the noise, it honestly begins to sound like a rushing mighty river. I mean, it sounds like a waterfall or something. It's incredible what begins to take place, because people just begin to worship the Lord, singing in the spirit, in tongues. It just begins to, it's just like it's washing over you and washing out of you, and you just don't even want to stop. Well, in a service like that, that noise, I believe, is similar to what happened in that upper room when all those people were gathered together. Now, what we don't know in a service like that is if someone is there in the service who maybe is not saved, there may be an act of God to divinely interpret some of what is going forth in a language that person understands. Maybe they're bilingual, they speak Chinese and English. Well, all of a sudden they may start hearing some things in Chinese, and they know there is no way that this is anything but God. And they're mystified. What is this? I don't understand how this can possibly be. And that opens the door for anything that is said beyond that point. That person will begin to listen because they have experienced something. And I'll tell you this much. You take somebody that's not saved and you put them in a service like that where there is a spiritual outbreak, they're going to sense the presence of God. I mean, they may not be born again, but they will sense the presence of God. They may not know for sure what it is they're sensing, but they will sense there's something happening here that I have never known before. And it can be something that can create fear on the inside of them, which isn't surprising because that goes along with the fear of the Lord. And they'll listen. Because you put somebody in the middle of power like that, and they're going to want to know, what is this? And that, boy, you talk about winning people to Jesus. That just opens the door for folks to be led to the Lord. And see, that's the kind of a thing, though, that you can't really predict when it will happen. Because we can all just begin to sing in the Spirit. And to us, we're just worshiping the Lord. But to somebody in here, they may be hearing every word that somebody or all of us in here are saying and understanding it, hearing things. They may be hearing things they question God about. God, I don't understand so-and-so. All these preachers are saying such and such. I just don't understand this. And God says, well, you're going to be in that church service on Sunday night. I'm going to give you your answer then in a way that you can't even begin to imagine. And that's how God sometimes reveals himself. Does that kind of clarify that? Okay.
I may have more questions, but I hope you don't mind.
No, I'm glad I know. I didn't. That's okay. I'll just admit. Don't worry about that. Somebody listening to the tape might have the same question. I'll just let you know that it's just that's something I'm not used to, people asking questions, but I'm not opposed to it. And, you know, get used to it, yeah. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he's saying that we're speaking mysteries unto God. Now, let me get this turned back over here. He says we're speaking mysteries unto God. Now, you and I both know that when it talks about speaking mysteries unto God, we're not saying something to God that he doesn't have a clue what we're saying. When we begin to speak or we begin to pray in the Spirit, God's not up on the throne scratching his head trying to figure out what it is we're saying. And he looks over to Jesus and he says, "Son, do you know what they're talking about?" And Jesus says, "I don't know. It's a mystery to me." That's not what's happening. So if he says here that we're speaking mysteries unto God, and I know that I'm not saying something that's going to cause God any consternation, then I'd kind of like to know what these mysteries are, if there's any way I can find out. Well, there is. Look over in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." But he says, "Unto you it is given." Now remember, he's speaking prophetically here. He says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And so people that say things like, "Well, you know, you just can never figure out God." Well, no, that conflicts with what Jesus has just said right here. He said, "It is given to us to know, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Well, not only that, but turn over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 11. Jesus says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So we know then from Jesus' own lips, it has been given to us to know, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But now turn over, same chapter, to verse 34. "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." All right, now that word mystery, when you look it up in the original language, it means a divine secret, undiscernible by human reasoning, and only understood by revelation of God. Well, here's Jesus. He comes along, and he says, "It's given to you to know the kingdom, to understand the secrets, the knowledge, the wisdom. It is given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It's given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God." And then it tells us here that Jesus opened his mouth, he spoke in parables, and he uttered things which had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So what that tells us also then, the parables that he spoke and the parables that he taught contain some of these secrets and some of these mysteries that were kept hidden from the foundation of the world. And then later on in the one parable, the parable of the word, he says, "Look, if you can't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any other parable?" So he even goes on and explains to us what parable we should focus on the most so that we can go forward from that point and begin to get discernment and understanding of the other parables that he gave us. But when Jesus came, remember? When Jesus was speaking, and he said, "Up until now, up until John, the law and the prophets were preached and taught to you. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached unto you. And so Jesus came to reveal the kingdom of God, and he spoke in parables, and in those parables he was speaking things that were secret and kept hidden from the foundation of the world, and then he turns right around and he says, it's been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, and to know and understand those mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's been given to you to understand these things. Alright, now, that being true, I can then go into the Word and take a look about some of the things of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, since I know that these mysteries, in part at least, are centered around the kingdom of God. But when I do that, I can find out that Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, that the kingdom of God is within you. So I know that the mysteries in part are concerning the kingdom of God, and when I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying about, or in part I'm praying the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and Jesus has said it's been given to me to know and to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, and then he turns around and he says that the kingdom of God is within me, and in 1 Corinthians 4:20 it says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, or but in might, strength, and the anointing, and then over in Romans 14:17 it says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, in the Holy Ghost. So see, I'm beginning to learn some things right now that when I pray these mysteries, I understand I'm praying the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or I'm speaking forth or releasing out of myself the secrets that had been hidden from the foundation of the world concerning the kingdom of heaven and concerning the kingdom of God as it applies to me. All right, now, let's go forward in this. As I begin to pray, it is the Holy Spirit's job to teach me those things. Remember, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll teach you all things. Now, if He's going to teach me all things, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, then that tells me that as I'm praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is working to teach me about the things of the kingdom of God, the righteousness, the peace, the joy, and everything else that pertains to my salvation. He's working to cause me to understand everything that I have become in Jesus Christ. Everything that I've become since I was born again. Everything that I have inherited with Jesus. He's working to try and explain all that to me. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, a lot of folks will say things like, you just don't know what God's going to do. You can never understand what God's going to perform in your life. You can never clearly get a direction from Him. Why, you just never know what God is going to do. And then they'll quote from what we're going to read here in just a moment, and they'll say things like, well, you know, I have not seen and ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And they stop right there. Well, take a look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Now look what Paul has said here. He says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now stop right there for a moment. So it's obvious this verse is in the Bible. But what he's telling us here in verse 9, he's referring back to the people who lived under the old covenant and did not have access to the mysteries of God. They didn't have access to this wisdom because under the old covenant, the heart of man was not yet the temple of God, was not yet the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying, yes, you know, prior to this, prior to what Jesus did for us, it's true, I have not seen, ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, but, look what he says in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed. He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So what he's telling us here is that all of the things that we talked about in verse 9 that never had entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, he says now God hath revealed them. That word revealed means to reveal or to remove a veil or a covering, exposing to open view that which was hidden. And he says, God hath revealed them. What them? The things that God hath prepared for us. God hath revealed the things that he hath prepared for us. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. See? And the reason he's done it by his Spirit, and the reason we can receive that, is because now, because we're saved, we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the veil of sin is no longer in existence. It no longer separates us from this wisdom that Paul was talking about, that they speak the wisdom of God. We speak it in a mystery. But no longer is that veil keeping us from that mystery. That's why we're able to speak this mystery, because it's been revealed to us by His Spirit. And he goes on in verse 10. He says, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Nobody knows you like you know you, essentially is what he's saying at the beginning of verse 11. He says, only you know what's going on the inside of you. Likewise, only the Spirit of God knows what's going on inside the Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 12, now look at this very closely. He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, or a better way to put that is, we have not received the Spirit or a nature that pertains to the things of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What things are freely given to us? Well, back up there in verse 9, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, in verse 12, where it says that we've not received the Spirit of the world, he says, but the Spirit which is of God. If that Spirit is capitalized, if that's a capital S, it shouldn't be. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit in that verse. He's talking about the new nature, the born-again nature, the new man that's been created on the inside of you. Now, look at it closely and you'll see this. He says, we have not received, because we are now born again, the nature that we have on the inside is not a nature that pertains to the things of this world, but the new nature that we have, this born-again new man, this new spirit man that is alive on the inside of us, it has come from God. We now have the very nature of God on the inside of us. Our spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It is that born-again spirit, that sinless nature that has been given to us through this born-again experience. And he says, we've not received the Spirit that's of the world, but we've received the new nature which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So in other words, now that you have received a new nature from God, that new nature is perfect, it's sinless, it's holy, and it is now able to receive the things of God, to understand the mysteries that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. Now that you're born again, and you have a new nature living on the inside of you, look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he's telling us, listen, it is the Holy Ghost who now works to teach you these hidden mysteries, the deep things of God, the secret things of God, the things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. But now, because the veil of sin has been revealed or been removed, all of those hidden things are now openly revealed to us. And because you have a born-again spirit, it is the nature of God on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit now dwelling on the inside of you is able to teach you those things, because it is given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. All right, now go further here in this. We need to learn a little more here. These secrets have been openly revealed to the body of Christ. Look over in Romans chapter 16 real quickly. In Romans 16, look what he says in verse 25. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And now look what he says here, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So in other words, he's telling us, look, now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And now he begins to tell us how the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. He says, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. So what he's telling us right here is this. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, from cover to cover, everything in here. Jesus spoke in parables. The prophets who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, who knew these mysteries all along, the Holy Spirit knew these mysteries all along, he inspired the prophets to write what we call the Bible. Contained in the Bible are the mysteries that God wants us to understand. Now, let me give you a good example of this. Think of it like this. In the Old Testament, when they were writing things about the Holy Spirit, and we studied that here a few weeks back, how that there were prophecies about being filled with the Spirit and speaking and praying in the Spirit and so forth, they didn't know what they were writing about. They didn't have a clue. They wrote a lot of things about Jesus, but they didn't know what all they were writing. I mean, they understood a Messiah was coming, but a lot of these prophecies, it was a mystery to them. They didn't understand what in the world is God having us write. Some of the things they did understand, but there was a great deal of it that they didn't understand. And see, God, through His prophets, was laying the foundation for the body of Christ to come along, so that once the body of Christ came into existence, the Holy Spirit, who had spoken through His prophets to establish this Word and to reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, once we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and we turn Him loose, He then is able to reveal these things to us and open the Word of God to us and show us what we've become in Jesus, to explain to us the power and the authority that we have in our born-again nature, and explain to us that sin doesn't have dominion over you, to explain to us that we do have the name of Jesus, that is the name above all names, and we've been given the right and the authority to use that name, and to explain to us all of these things that the prophets of old did not fully understand, but yet now pertain unto us. We can go back and by the leadership and the teaching of the Holy Spirit gain the guidance and the instruction that's been kept hidden from the foundation of the world. But it's been right here the whole time. And nobody knew. That's one of the reasons why the Bible says that if the princes of this world had known what was coming, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because the one thing that Satan does not want you to understand is what you've become in Jesus Christ. As long as he can keep you from knowing what you've become in Jesus Christ, he can keep you in bondage to his wiles, to his deception, see? Well, Jesus said, it's given to you to know these secrets. It's given to you to understand these things. And then Paul has made it clear that it's the Holy Spirit who compares spiritual things to spiritual things. He's the one that teaches us. And so when we give ourselves over to praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit, we're praying those mysteries. And as we pray those mysteries, we're bypassing our understanding, but in the Spirit we're speaking these mysteries. And so the Holy Spirit is working to teach us. That's why sometimes you can spend a considerable amount of time praying in the Spirit, and then when you go and open the Bible and you begin to read, all of a sudden you've got a divine illumination and an understanding of something that was in this Word that you read 10,000 times, and you always thought it meant one thing, but now all of a sudden you say, bless God in heaven, that's what that means. Now I understand. What is that? The Holy Spirit has just taught you and revealed unto you one of those mysteries that's been kept hidden from the foundation of the world. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're holding the truth. It's right here. But we don't know the fullness of the truth. You know what I'm saying? We're growing in our knowledge and understanding of the truth. And the more that we grow in the knowledge of the truth that God has given us is the more that we live in the freedom that Jesus paid for, and the more that we can exercise that freedom against every attack that Satan throws our way. All right, now. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and stand?